Welcome back into Midday. My name's Gabe Ortiz, filling in for Tom Hall today. Every year, Maryland's governor meets with unions representing state employees of all kinds, like teachers at the Maryland School for the Deaf, police with the Maryland Transportation Authority, airport fighters at BWI, and so much more. They negotiate all kinds of things on behalf of tens of thousands of state employees, like pay raises and other benefits. But in a very rare occurrence, Governor Wes Moore and the largest of the state employee unions, AFSCME, failed to reach an agreement by the December 31st deadline. To talk a little bit about this failure to reach an agreement, we're happy to bring in Brian Sears, who covers the governor, the General Assembly, and state politics for the news site Maryland Matters. Brian, we got you on the line?
You do.
And right now you're down in Annapolis getting ready for the General Assembly, correct?
I am.
So I can imagine that having a failed union negotiation just weeks before the General Assembly kicks off is a very unwelcome and rare event for the governor and his team. Can you talk a little bit about having both of these things compounding at around the same time makes things quite a difficult start for the year for the governor?
It is a fairly rare event, and it's a small complication, but not an insignificant one, because as you well know, and your listeners probably know, AFSCME represents a large number of state employees, 50,000 government employees statewide. About 26,000 of those are state employees, and they're one of the larger bargaining units in the state of Maryland, and so this is a. This is not an insignificant problem, but perhaps a slight complication.
And when we look at what these negotiations are all about, now, I mentioned in the lead-in here that obviously wages and other benefits are on the table. Is there anything else beyond those two things that are being negotiated?
Those really end up being the big things, and the unions, especially for AFSCME, I mean, over the years they would tell you that cost of living raises over the last 4 years, but certainly further back than that, have not kept pace consistently with inflation. And so it's not just a matter of not seeing a cost of living increase for the coming year that they're concerned about, but also sort of at the very least a couple of years worth of look back where they really want to try to catch up with what has been going on.
And we should mention that AFSCME is the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees Council 3. So this is a nationwide organization that has these hubs throughout every single state. And I think it's fair to say that the relationship between the governor and his team and AFSCME here in Maryland has been pretty positive over the years. So what was it specifically that led to this breakdown in negotiation talks in 2025, to end 2025?
Well, to the union's point, they believe that the offer on the table that includes the cost of living doesn't keep pace. They're benchmarking inflation at about 3% year over year, and saying that the governor's cost of living increase comes in roughly half that, plus there's some other sweeteners that bring the total amount to about 2%. Plus the other problem that they have is what is known as step increases. Basically, these programmed increases for people, for state employees who are here based on the longevity of their employment. Those are things that are programmed into the budget, but they don't always happen. They're not required to happen, and sometimes they don't. And the union wants a little more consistency with that. There are also some concerns about wage compression, because the state has had to, in order to address some of its hiring needs, start offering higher salaries to new employees. But that means that sometimes these new employees come in at rates that are at or above some employees who have been here for longer periods of time.
And in years past, now, obviously, as we've said, this is the first time that they've actually failed to come to an agreement. But how would you rate the temperature of these negotiations year over year? Is it something that's generally positive? Are these usually heated discussions? Because it seems like it's gotten a little bit heated, and I'll get into that in a second. But, you know, in years past, when they didn't fail to come to an agreement, how would you rate the temperature and the emotion behind these negotiations?
It's sort of, I think we probably have to separate a little bit into like pre-Governor Moore and post-Governor Moore. You know, pre-Governor Moore, we had a Republican governor, Larry Hogan, and I would argue that the relationship between AFSCME specifically and the Republican administration was a very openly tense one. And neither side was very shy about hiding their distrust of the other, their dislike of the other. I think there was some hope that with the change of administration and a Democratic governor that things would change. I think the argument would be that this relationship as it stands now has been somewhat uneven. There are things that the governor and the union have worked very well on together, and there are other things that the union feels like the governor could do better on. And one of those things is the current state of the cost of living raises in this particular annual contract. Hmm.
And the reason I bring that up is because 2 days before Christmas, so just a couple weeks ago, we saw that AFSCME took to social media and they unveiled a series of unfair labor practice complaints it had filed against Governor Wes Moore and his administration. And I just found that to be a very interesting development in these negotiations, because now it doesn't seem like it's just about numbers anymore. It's not just we want this number and the state wants this number. Now they're kind of going beyond that into discussions about unfair labor practices that state employees are having to deal with. Was this something that you saw coming as somebody reporting on this, or was this a bit of a wild left turn in these otherwise usually, you know, normal negotiations, at least since Governor Wes Moore's been in office?
It was not something that I saw coming. I don't know that I would describe it as a wild turn, but I definitely would describe the public announcement and the filing of these grievances as certainly a pressure tactic for sure.
And what were these unfair labor practice complaints that were filed?
Most of them really have to do with things like workplace surveillance, the availability of telework, and monetarily shift the payment for what they call shift differential.
During negotiations in December, AFSCME took to social media to pressure Governor Wes Moore. Here's one of the videos they put out. You'll hear Crystal McKay, vice president of AFSCME Local 227 and a member of the bargaining team.
We are disappointed by the state's wage proposal. The proposal falls short of what was negotiated last year. We are demanding a wage proposal that keeps up with inflation and honors the essential work state employees do every day.
Now, this is something that, again, is, as I think Brian stated, is a bit of a pressure tactic to get Governor Wes Moore and his team to come to the table and to have their demands met. And How has AFSCME described the challenges its members are facing right now from their perspective? Now, we just heard a little bit from Crystal McKay talking about those challenges, but when they're kind of zooming out and talking about things, you know, beyond just the numbers, what are some of the things that AFSCME are claiming the people they represent are having to deal with on a daily basis?
Well, it varies from agency to agency, but I think broadly speaking, they would argue that the 8 years previous to Governor Moore, there was a concerted effort to reduce the number of state employees that has caused a lot of downward pressure on state employees who now have to fill those roles and those duties in addition to what they had been doing. There's also the very real argument that's made about the, you know, for example, looking at the Department of Public Safety and Correctional Services and the shortage that we have had historically over almost the last decade for correctional officers, which has resulted in high amounts of overtime and a lot of correctional officer fatigue, and also, you know, has represented what the union says are some very real dangers to their employees.
And so we've already seen the union, as we just talked about, ramp up the pressure in terms of taking to social media and filing these labor practice complaints against the state government. Is there any more escalation that could happen? I think the thing on a lot of people's minds would be, can these employees go on strike and ramp up the pressure and turn up the heat even more on Governor Wes Moore to come to the table and meet their demands?
Yeah, I think that that's a really good question. But the short answer is no. State employees, public employees with the state of Maryland don't have the ability to strike, and so it's not like we're going to get to the beginning of the session or the end of January and the union is going to throw up his hands and say that they're walking out. So I don't think you should be expecting something like that.
My name is Gabe Ortiz, filling in for Tom Hall today, speaking with Brian Sears of the news site Maryland Matters, discussing the failed negotiations between Governor Wes Moore and the state's largest employee union. Now, looking at this from the state side and Governor Wes Moore and his team, how have they characterized this entire negotiation and how have they characterized their position in these negotiations?
Well, they have made it very clear that they believe that they are standing up for state workers, that they are pro-state worker and pro-state worker union. The governor has been clear from the day he walked into office that he wanted to increase the number of state employees. That has been a challenge over the 3 years with not only the budgetary constraints, but also I think that the governor has found that it is a little more difficult to hire state employees than I think he originally anticipated. But they describe themselves as being pro-state worker.
And we saw just a few months ago, it feels like it's been a lifetime, when there were massive, massive cuts happening at the federal level. Maryland, of course, is the number one state when it comes to federal employees. And Governor Wes Moore at the time was saying that people who are getting laid off or fired from their jobs from the federal government will have places to go in Maryland's state government. I'm curious, was that a plan that worked out? Was that a promise that was able to be fulfilled? Or is that another one of the things that perhaps was maybe more difficult for the governor than originally thought when he presented the idea?
I think probably it has turned out to be a little more difficult. They have hired some federal employees. They also have had to be careful about their hiring because, you know, over the summer, as you might remember, they instituted, I wouldn't say that they would describe it as a hiring freeze, but they definitely slowed down on their hiring. They instituted a voluntary separation agreement plan where they essentially 300 employees voluntarily took buyouts and they removed a total of 500 jobs from the state employment rolls. There's a budgetary advisory committee that has asked the governor to consider only hiring to fill essential positions and moving forward because of a $1.5 billion structural budget deficit that's projected for the coming year. And so, you know, the other thing is that it's unclear how many federal employees actually want to come and work for state government because in a lot of cases, the salary levels at the federal government were a lot higher than in state government. And so there's really sort of the effort of trying to find the right people for the right positions at the right payment, at the right salary levels.
And while there was a failure to reach an agreement with AFSCME, which is, again, the biggest representative of state employees, there were also a lot of smaller unions that represent state employees that were able to come to an agreement with Governor Wes Moore. I believe it was six. Correct me if that number's wrong. What was different there?
That's correct.
Is it just the size of AFSCME that makes it more difficult to get all the numbers lined up right and to actually get contracts signed? Or was there something different about the six other unions that, albeit are smaller, but were able to come to an agreement by the December 31st deadline?
Yeah, I'm hesitant to speak for the other six unions. I mean, clearly AFSCME had some very specific goals, and because of their size, I think they're leveraging their size a little bit more to sort of stress their concerns. I think, Gabe, I'd be hesitant to speak about why each of the other six unions agreed to, sure, to essentially take the offer from the governor. That being said, I can tell you that as it stands right now, the governor's office does plan on at least programming into the budget the same agreement that they reached with the other unions for AFSCME's 26,000 state employees. So at the very least, that agreement will be in place as a bare minimum for the state and AFSCME, depending on how they work this out in the coming days.
And looking to the future, would you say that there are any meaningful political risks for either Governor Wes Moore or for AFSCME as a union, depending on how all this ends up playing out?
Yeah, I think that remains to be seen. I don't know that there's necessary political risk for AFSCME. I think it depends on what the union ultimately decides to do and what cards they have to play about whether or not there are potentially any repercussions for the governor. I think at this stage, it's probably just too soon to know.
And were there other unions in Maryland closely following what happened here? Would you say that the outcome here tells us something about the broader situation and the broader outlook for the labor movement all throughout Maryland?
Yeah, I don't know how broadly I can speak about this. I mean, this is one budgetary skirmish, and again, because the fact that the governor is programming this agreement into his what would be his proposed budget that gets released later this month, it's really unclear to me like how much this will affect the broader scope of labor relations between the state and its bargaining units.
And as we know, 2026 is going to be an election year for Governor Westmore. Governors throughout any state usually have a pretty easy path to re-election. Is this something that you think Governor Westmore wanted to, and again, I know that this is a bit of a speculative question here, but just from a political standpoint, it doesn't even have to be about Westmore, just looking at governors in general, is this something that would have been really nice in your perspective to have wrapped up before going into an election year? Because that's kind of where my last question comes from is, you know, is this something that Governor Westmore's detractors could potentially use against him as they vie for that governorship in Maryland?
Yeah, I think if this, I don't know that this is necessarily an issue, but if I sort of accept the premise of your question and say, sure, there's a political issue here, there's political hay to be made on this, I think that there are so many other larger issues at play for this campaign that this one really kind of gets obscured by things like affordability and housing and the economy. That I'm not sure that this is really a major player in the election.
Brian, thank you so much for joining us. Really, really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Brian Sears again covering the General Assembly, the governor, and state politics for the news site Maryland Matters. That's going to do it for us here today on Midday. Coming up tomorrow, Tom Hall is back with a preview of the upcoming Maryland General Assembly session. Fresh Air is up next. I'm Gabe Ortiz. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.